This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
With the UK general election coming up on Thursday, the 4th of July 2024, here on RNIB Connect Radio, we thought it would be a good time to find out how accessible voting might be in other countries around the world for blind and partially sighted people. And I'm delighted to say that Chris Danielson, Director of Public Relations for the National Federation of the Blind in America, joins me now to give me a flavour of how voting is in America for blind and partially sighted people. Hello, Chris, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, Toby. It's always a pleasure to be with RNIB Connect Radio. Thanks for having me.
Is voting in America similar to how it works here in UK? As if you are on the electoral roll here, you normally get a polling card sent through the post. You then have to turn up to a polling station and put a cross in a box on a piece of paper for your, I suppose, your, the party or candidate that you want to vote for. Is that the same sort of way it works out there in America?
Well, for the most part, yes, we do have to register to vote and we do receive a voter registration card. Now, of course, we are the United States of America, and so each state has slightly different voting regulations. Now, there is supposed to be a national standard for voter registration, especially for federal elections. And so to a certain extent, the process is the same, but for example, in some states, you may also need to bring your photo ID with you. So some kind of identification that has your picture on it, your state issued ID that looks kind of like a driver's license or your passport or something of that nature. That's not true in every state, but it is true in some. You know, so there are those type of requirements that you need to be aware of in your specific state. But then you do go to the polling place, and most states are using some kind of hand-marked paper ballot. Now, they're actually, in our country, rather than using a cross, they're Scantron. They're electronically scanned. So you actually, there's an oval for each candidate or each party that you want to mark, and you have to fill it in. You have to take a pen or a pencil and, you know, fill in that oval so that it's clear that you marked it. So that's the way that most people vote. But the way that blind and partially sighted people in the United States can vote is there is a law called the Help America Vote Act. And that requires, at least for federal elections, which we're going to have one of those later this year, you may have heard, that there has to be an accessible voting machine. And so what has to happen is that there are machines that can read the ballot to you in an audio form, and then they can mark the ballot. So you make your selections on a keypad following the audio prompts, and then the machine actually prints and marks a ballot, fills in the little bubbles for you. And it can be a little bit different depending on the machine, but basically that's how accessible voting happens in the United States. So assuming the machines are working like they are supposed to, you can vote privately and independently as a blind person. And in addition to having audio output, the machine has the ability for you to enlarge the ballot on the screen so that you can read it better. It has some other facilities for people that have other kind of physical disabilities that would make it difficult for them to mark the ballot with a pen or pencil. So that's the system that is used at polling places in the United States.
That seems sort of, in a way, similar to how things happen here. We haven't quite got to the stage of having electronic devices in the polling stations. It's purely a case of people having to turn up, mark across. But we do have overlays that go over the ballot paper, and you hope that they've been put in the right place and they're sort of marking the right sort of boxes where you have to put your cross in. So we are sort of slightly getting there. But I wondered also, how about getting to the polling station in America for blind and partially sighted people? Is that easy and accessible to do? As here, the polling stations normally seem to be either in a school or a public building. Is that similar to America?
Yes, usually they are in some kind of building like that. Most states do require them to be accessible locations. That is to say, they have to be physically accessible. Sometimes they are not. Sometimes, rather than being a public building, it used to be that sometimes churches were used. We're seeing less of that. Certainly in my city, Baltimore, Maryland, most of the polling places are in some kind of public building that is accessible. Now, getting there can be, it really depends on how good the transportation options you have where you live. Some states do a really good job of making sure that polling places are on public transportation routes so that they're easy to get to. But in other states, there just isn't much public transportation. Sometimes the companies, Uber and Lyft, some of the other ride-sharing companies and taxi companies will either allow you to use them for free if you're going to vote or have some kind of reduced rate or coupon code or what have you. And then once you get to the polling place, of course, the big challenge is always if it's in a big enough public building, there may be signs directing you to the place where the actual polling station is. And of course, if you're blind, those aren't necessarily accessible. But a lot of times they have volunteers that are directing people to the polling place.
And do the polling station staff and volunteers get any sort of training in how best to meet, greet, and assist blind and partially sighted people when they're voting?
Well, they are supposed to. It's one of the challenges that we always face. And we've actually done a lot of work in the National Federation of the Blind to make sure that we produce videos and different things to help train poll workers, because they sometimes don't know how to be courteous to blind people, you know, the right way to help and the wrong way to help. For example, offering an arm rather than grabbing your arm or your cane or what have you. And sometimes in different jurisdictions, blind people may be the only people that are using the special machines. So, you know, sometimes if they don't think they're going to have any blind people at the polling place, that machine may not be set up properly when you get there. So we always try to emphasize to poll workers that it's really important that the machine be set up, that you never know when a blind voter might show up, or a voter with a disability, or somebody else who wants to use the machine. And so please don't assume that everybody will be just marking the paper ballot.
And I think all the sort of major local parties here in the UK in the run-up to our general election have launched all their sort of manifestos and other campaigning materials, which should be, and I think that they are mainly actually accessible for us. And I wondered, how does that sort of work for you in America? Are sort of campaign materials and manifestos made accessible to blind and partially sighted voters in America?
So it's a little more spotty here, only because there isn't sort of a central way for candidates' manifestos and so forth to be posted. So you'll have individual websites for different candidates a lot of times. And so it can be important for those websites to be accessible. Now, of course, you know, we have an incumbent president running, so a lot of his materials will be on the actual federal website for the White House. There probably is also a campaign website as well. You know, so most of the campaign websites will probably be mostly accessible, but some of the campaigns and candidates are going to do a better job of that than others.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, so we've been talking a little bit about making things more accessible and the, you know, machines that you have there in America. But I do sometimes wonder whether there is a better electronic and more accessible way of voting. Because we all seem to do so much online or on our smartphones. We bank online. I've been dealing with solicitors' documents recently via secure online portals. So there surely must be a sort of a better and more accessible and digital way of voting. Is that something that's been looked at in America as well?
So, yes, it is. Unfortunately, it's very controversial. There are a lot of people that believe that despite the fact that we do so many other things online, that online portals are still not secure enough for voting. And part of the reason for that is because unlike your financial transactions or the example you give with your solicitor, when you are doing a financial transaction, for example, you're logging in and you're looking at the same information that the bank has. So you're logging in securely, but the information, once you log in securely, it's not secret. So the bank gets to see it and you get to see it. And if there is a security breach, either one of you may detect that and you may notice that, you know, money is being withdrawn from your account that you didn't expect to be withdrawn so that you can then contact your bank and inform them of that. With voting, it's a little harder because once the ballot leaves you, it's not supposed to be tampered with by anybody else. And it's also supposed to be secret. So it's not supposed to be tied to your identity. So it can be a little harder to set up a system where you can verify that your ballot has been sent in. That said, we have been pushing in the United States, especially as the National Federation of the Blind, because people in most states can vote from home if they want to. Now, in a lot of states, they're sent a paper ballot, but we are steadily making it clear that there needs to be a digital system for blind people and people with other disabilities to be able to use in order to mark and return our ballots. And we have that in some states, but it's not completely available across the country yet.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio about the accessibility of voting in America for blind and partially sighted people.
My pleasure.
If you'd like to help to make sight loss a priority for the next UK government, just ask your local candidate to become an RNIB champion if elected. To contact your candidate, fill out the simple online form on the RNIB website, rnib.org.uk.